Okay, we're just going to pick up right where we left off. 2 Chronicles 15:1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear you me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord's with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he'll be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." And this encouraged Asa to tear down the idols. The particular word that came from this prophet, there's encouragement that comes through the words that God gives. And I just have a note about one of the commentaries said there's a possible gloss or corruption of the manuscript in verse 8 where it calls him a prophet. I forgot to put it on buzz, so let me, that's from work, but you're going to have to wait. So I believe he's a prophet. 2 Chronicles 34, "Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the remnant in Israel and Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that's poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord. They've not acted in accordance with all that's written in this book." And Hilkiah and those the king had sent with him went to speak to the prophetess Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tokath, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the second district. 45, apartment 3B, second district. Huldah heard from God. Now here in Ezra 5:1, "Then the prophets Haggai and the prophet and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them." They received words from the Lord to encourage the Jews to rebuild. Now, you got to think, these Jews had stopped rebuilding because the word came from King Artaxerxes, that because their adversaries had sent to Artaxerxes and said, "Hey, the Jews, that's a rebellious city, they're trying to build it. Why don't you stop?" And he looks, "Yeah, they are rebellious people. Stop the work." So they were stopped. Now, a new king had come in called Darius, but God stirred up Haggai and Zechariah, said, "I want you to start prophesying to these people. Here's the words." And the words that they gave encouraged the people to start building, and their adversaries came up again, and you can read it in the surrounding context of these chapters. They were like, "What are you doing? Who's doing this? We're going to tell. And they sent the king Darius, hey, these guys are building again. Look it up. They said that blah, blah, blah." And the king looked it up. He says, "Yeah, their stuff was taken. But they were sent back to rebuild with the king's blessing. You guys stay out of it. In fact, you supply them what they need." But it took some courage for Haggai and Zechariah to be speaking during that time, knowing they're going to get pressure. It's not a pressure-free thing when God speaks to you. There's always something, your fears, multitude. So if you're thinking, "Oh, if I hear God, I will just do it." You guys know what happened with Linda Powell's back when God told me to stand up in church and say, "Jesus is going to heal you tonight." I was standing in the pew the whole worship going, "Is that you? Is that you? It's my reputation. Is that you?" I couldn't worship. My whole brain was going, If that's you, make it real. Well, he's sitting there going, inside my heart, stand up and speak that at the end. I'd never had anything like that before, but it was like a driving inside of me, like, do this. It's like, I look like a fool. What if it doesn't happen? There's always pressure. That's why we need to know that we know it's Him, so we can speak confidently and just say, this is the weirdest thing in the world, but this is what Jesus said. Because you know what? It's the only way we're going to see Him fulfill His word, because He wants us to be ministering with Him, because that's when He gets the glory, because He knows we can't do it. And the people that get touched know that we can't do it. So they begin to see that there's a real and a living God. But we back out sometimes. And we need to learn not to do that. The more confident we are in hearing Him, the more confident we will be to just say what He said. In Hosea, the word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. He spoke to Hosea. Jonah 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to this great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. And he said, I will be glad to respond to you, Father. Looking for a way out. You're not the only ones that feel that way when God speaks. So in some ways, I don't feel totally bad about not speaking out that night in that service, because I see some other guys did it. But I don't want to continue mimicking their failures just because it's in the scriptures. But it shows me that it's a very real thing that we have to deal with. Micah. The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, the vision he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. In Habakkuk 1:1, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. In Luke 3:2, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias. And in Matthew 11, verse 9, what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it's written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. John the Baptist was a prophet. He heard from God. And he told the king some stuff that the king's wife didn't like. It's not lawful for you to be married to her. And she said, I will get his head. But John spoke what God wanted him to speak, even with the authorities. I'm not saying you read about Micaiah and some of these others where they just said, hey, look, king, I wouldn't even look at you. I mean, don't treat your city officials that way unless that's what God has told you to speak. And I would really be double-checking. Because now Jesus himself talked to the Pharisees, said, you snakes and vipers. I have a hard time doing that because I know some of that's coming from me. It's like, yeah, you dirty crook, you. I can't speak in purity like he did. So you can't take everything from Scripture and run with it. So that's why I say sometimes people bring it on themselves, but John's cost him. But he just did what the Father told him to do. Matthew 24:15, it calls Daniel a prophet. I'm speeding this up just a little bit here. In Acts 11:27, Some of the prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and Agabus stood up and predicted a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened. He was a New Testament prophet that heard from God and foretold an event. So now we see prophecies, prophets are carrying on over into the New Testament. It didn't stop, which I know we all know, but just reiterating, God started speaking back here. He's still speaking here, and we'll see a little bit closer. In Acts 13, when they were told to set apart Saul and Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them, doesn't say which ones were prophets, which ones were teachers, but it's easy to figure out that the direction most likely came through one of the prophets hearing from God, saying, set them out. In Acts 15, Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the brothers. They had to be hearing from God. That's why they're called prophets. They were speaking the things that God was telling them to speak, and they were encouraging the people, just like Haggai and Zechariah did in the rebuilding, bringing encouragement. And then Ephesians 4:11, it was He, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. On the bullet there, let me see what part I want. Jesus gave prophets to church after His resurrection for the purpose of preparing God's people to do His work. Since we've seen that prophets hear from God, it's unlikely New Testament prophets changed in that regard. New Testament prophets will not be adding new scripture to the Bible, but they will be giving insight into the heart of the Father through what's already written, being used in spiritual gifts, as well as being used like Agabus to foretell an event. I believe those qualities are all in New Testament prophets. So a lot of people will agree with everything I've said so far, yet question God speaking to others. So let's look at who else He spoke to. The apostles. In Ephesians 3, verse 4, as you've read what I've written, you'll understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by His Spirit has revealed it to His holy apostles and prophets. Who revealed it to them? Okay. Can you see the Holy Spirit? No. So how did they know it was Him? They had to know. Paul himself is writing saying, hey, He revealed this by His Spirit to His apostles and prophets. And, hey, I'm one of the apostles. I know. That's what he's saying. And to reveal it means to uncover it, to lay open what's been veiled or covered up, to make it bare. The Spirit did this through the apostles and prophets. In 2 Peter 1:13, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made this clear to me. Is that a word you want to hear? Time's about up. That's what Peter heard. Your time on earth is soon over, brother. That's an encouraging word. I don't know. Paul said, I'd rather be in heaven, but it's better for me to be here with you. I'm still backslidden on that area. I'm still used to this life. It's what I know, and it's harder for me to comprehend what I don't see, even though I believe in it. There's relationships, and you start thinking about all that, and it... I'm just being real. I'm not saying I don't want to have that. I'm just saying I'm not there. Because if he tells me, Rayo, got a few days left. Be like, oh man. Okay, Lord, I'm going to have to get adjusted to this idea, but all right. But it wouldn't be like, woohoo! Not there. Need a little work here. Galatians 2:2. I went because it was specially and divinely revealed to me that I should go. And I put before them the gospel, declaring to them that which I preach among the Gentiles. However, I presented the matter privately before those of repute, for I wanted to make certain, by thus at first confining my communication to this private conference, that I was not running or had not run in vain, guarding against being discredited either in what I was planning to do or had already done. How many see Paul the Apostle as being the man that's just charging ahead? That's the way I see him. It's like, man, just Paul's just taking a bull by the horns. He said, I got revelation to go. And I went, but I had a private meeting with these guys to see, have I been running in vain? You double checking yourself, Paul? Yeah. It's okay. In a multitude of counselors, purposes are established. It's a biblical principle. You can say, well, wait a minute. He's been preaching all this time. Now he's saying, was I okay doing this? No, I'm not sure it was totally that way. But he's just saying, here's what I've been doing. How's it line up with you brothers on what you're doing? But he went there because he was divinely inspired to go. The Holy Spirit sent him there. It doesn't say how he got this revelation. Was it through a prophet? Was it through the Holy Spirit? It doesn't say. It just says that he received it by revelation. 2 Corinthians 13:3, since you desire and seek perceptible proof of the Christ who speaks in and through me, for he is not weak and feeble in dealing with you, but is a mighty power within you. For though he is crucified in weakness, yet he goes on living by the power of God. And though we too are weak in him as he was humanly weak, yet in dealing with you we shall show ourselves alive and strong in fellowship with him by the power of God. Paul said, Christ is speaking in and through me. He had to know how to discern that it was Christ. So we've got people moving on into the New Testament here saying, he's speaking to me. He's talking to me. He's telling me. Acts 18:9. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Don't be afraid. Why would he tell him not to be afraid? Because there's possibility he was feeling a little bit of fear there. Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Don't be silent. I'm with you, and no one is going to attack you and harm you because I have many people in the city. And he stayed there a year and a half teaching the word of God. God spoke to him through a vision. Acts 10:13, there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. That had to be a tough one. You're a Jew, you've never touched anything unclean, and God shows all these unclean animals. He says, go ahead, kill and eat. Yeah, what are you going to do? Shoot me down with a lightning bolt when I do? Why would you tell me to do something that's against the principles of the old covenant? That can't be God. That has to be the devil. Has to be the devil because he's going against what was written about not eating stuff like that. That had to be a tough one. You got to put yourself in. And I'm trying to bring this back to us. God will say something to you and you're just like, wait a minute. I'm not telling you to run with stupid idea. I've got some truths in here that talk about bouncing it off some other people. Don't just fly off the handle. God told me to go to Zimbabwe. I'm on the first plane going there. Sometimes they're timing. God told me in about the first week I was saved, you'll be in ministry. And I was thinking, you know, ordained ministry. Obviously, I learned that everybody's involved in ministry. But it was over 10 years later that was fulfilled. I could have tried to run into it and fit myself into this thing. Okay. I don't know when, but I know what I need to be doing today. I know what I need to be doing now. Because whatever comes, it's from you. God lifts up, God puts down individuals. You can't do anything about it. The king's heart is in his hand, turns it like a river, wherever he wants. He can do that. He can do that in our lives. But sometimes you get a word like Peter got there. That was hard to digest. You got to think of everything that would have been running through his mind. I'd have been a basket case because I'm a nitpicker. Maybe sometimes too much, but I'm kind of OCD and it says this, then. And my old buddy Mike Becker, I had a tough time with breaking the Sabbath and the scripture that talked about Jesus broke the Sabbath. He knew I had a hard time with it, so he had us all stand up in Bible school and he said, okay, now let's all say it. Jesus broke the Sabbath. Jesus broke the Sabbath. It took me many years still to feel I understood why and what. And that's why I said I put these things on the back burner, because until it's clear, I can't say yay and amen. I could say it's plausible. But I'm not putting an amen unless I see it. And God can help us see those things. But we have to pursue him. And we have to know when he's speaking to us. So you can see there's a lot of speaking going on here. Revelation 1:10, John received word about the churches. He was an apostle that heard from the Lord. All right, so apostles and prophets, yeah, they hear from God. What about ordinary people? We're ordinary people. So individuals who weren't prophets, I'm going to go through this just a little bit faster because I do want to get to a couple points here. So again, I'm giving the verses for the tape's sake. In Genesis 1:27, God spoke to Adam and Eve. You say, well, yeah, but they were created perfect. So he could talk to them. They didn't have any sin. Well, he talked to them afterward. In Genesis 4:6, Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Cain had brought his offering. God said, nah, I don't like that. You got to put yourself in their shoes. There you are. You're bringing the best of what you have. And God says, nah. Then he looks at you and goes, why are you angry? Well, you just rejected me. That's why I'm angry. But God talked to him. God warned him. He said, hey, sin's at the door. He said, just chill. Not quite those words. In Genesis 6:13, God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm going to destroy both them and the earth. We read it, Okay, we know what happened. There was a Here's this guy just living on earth. There's wickedness going on around him. And God says, I'm going to put an end to all of this. What do you mean an end to all of this? I mean, just end it? Everybody? He was a human. He thought like us. I'd have questions. I'd be going, kind of like Abraham pleading for Lot in Sodom. Like, well, what if there's 45 people? Would you destroy it then? What about 40? I'd have questions. I'd want, that's a heavy word. And I can't even make it up because it doesn't seem real in the sense of, okay, God speaks to you and says, I'm going to put an end to Alliance, Ohio next week. It is going to be just burned to the ground, all of it. That makes some people happy. Yeah, I don't know. But hearing a word like that, what would it do to your heart? Yeah. But God has spoken words like that to individuals, and we are individuals living in the last days. We need to know that we know Him and what He's speaking to us. I'm with you guys. What I'm preaching here is not preaching at you. It goes this way too. If I preached everything that I lived, I wouldn't have much to preach about. Because it just seems like I'm just going through everything that everybody else does all the time. It's a continual walk in a battle with the things of darkness, the things of self. You just have to deal with it. So here's God speaking to Noah because he found grace in his eyes. Genesis 16:7. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert, said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from? Where are you going? Lord spoke through an angel to Hagar, an Egyptian handmaid. In Genesis 25:21, when Rebekah got pregnant, she had twins, they're jostling within her, and she's like, man, what's happening to me? So she went to ask the Lord. And the Lord said, don't ask stupid questions. No, the Lord answered, said, there's two nations, two peoples. One will be stronger than the other. The older will serve the younger. He answered her question. You say, well, I would never dare to ask God questions like that. Why? He's our Father. Well, He's never answered my... That's part of Satan's strategy. Well, He's never answered before. That's why we're looking at all these scriptures. So you can see that He does answer, He does speak. There are times when you don't hear it. Sometimes on His purpose, sometimes because we have shut off our ears, hardened our heart, or are pursuing our own way, and therefore neglecting to listen to Him. Genesis 35:1, God said to Jacob, go to Bethel, settle there, build an altar to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. This was right after his sons killed all the men in Shechem. And then God says, all right, and Jacob's going, man, these nations are, everybody around is going to come after us, kill these people. What are we going to do? And the Lord just says, well, I want you to just go up to Bethel and settle there. Numbers 12:5, Lord came down in a pillar of cloud, summoned Aaron and Miriam. How would you like that call? Rachel, Nathan. Front and center. And that's God calling from the pillar of the cloud. That would be a little awesome. And he talked to him. He said, listen to my words. And he reproved him for getting after Moses. In Joshua 3:7, Lord said to Joshua, Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I'm with you as I was with Moses. That's a very good, comforting word to hear. In Judges 1:1, after death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, who will go be the first to go up and fight against for us against the Canaanites? The Lord answered, Judah is to go. I've given the land into their hands. So the Israelites themselves, did they ask at the priest? It doesn't say how God answered. Was it through the priest and the Urim and the Thummim? I don't know. And Kirk taught on the Urim and the Thummim. So you can listen to his notes on that. I won't take time with that. In Judges 6:12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Isn't that comforting? You are a mighty man of valor. The angel is saying that to you. What are you thinking? Woo! Not Gideon. Gideon said, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why is all this happening? Where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, that we're not seeing happen now? Saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us, delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, you are such a flake. No, he says, go in this your might, and you'll save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? So here's a guy, was his heart pure and right behind the things of God? He's saying, if you're with us, why is this happening? And where's everything that they talked about? We don't see it happening anymore. That's what the devil does in our day. Oh, I feel it. Next 9 weeks, I'm going to be teaching on healing from the scriptures. And I'll tell you what, it bothers me to see people not healed. Because there's a voice that chomps in my head, says, yeah, you're going to keep preaching that? You don't see it happening. It must not be real. It's the Word of God. And I'm telling you, we have an adversary that's coming against us in our hearts, in our minds, that wants to use that stuff. Well, he was working on Gideon, and the Lord just said, go in this might. You'll save him because I sent you. That's what we've got to realize. See, Bill Powell has one thing I still have a hard time with. I love hearing the stories about it. Being in the hospital and praying for somebody and just kind of praying, Lord, just heal them. And nothing's happening, and there's nurses and stuff around. He just gets fed up because of things that's swelling him, and he says, in the name of Jesus, just be healed. And they sit up. But you know, my mind's still going, those people over there, you know, it's kind of wacko. You know why those people are healed? Because he's responding. He's doing what God's telling him to do, even when he looks foolish. It doesn't look foolish in the end. But see, I don't have that same heart all the time. There are times it seems to well up, but there's other times it's like, back door. What are we afraid of? Our reputation, who we are. That's the thing that has to die. And it's not always easy because you're crucifying yourself. That means you're putting yourself up there. It's like, how many of you like to crucify yourself? It doesn't feel pleasant. But it's the only way that more of Jesus lives through us. It's the only way. Judges 13:3. The angel of the Lord appeared unto a woman, said, you're barren and you haven't had kids, but now you'll conceive and bear a son. And Manoah's wife was told by the Lord she'd have Samson. 1 Kings 3:5. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Oh. Is that you, Lord? Is that really you? That sounds like a good word. Anything? Thank goodness Psalm had a good, godly heart at that time and said, give me understanding to rule your people. 2 Kings 10. The Lord said to Jehu, because you've done well in executing what was right in my eyes and done to the house of Ahab according to all that was in my heart, thy children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne. So it doesn't say how he heard. Was it through a word from a prophet or Holy Spirit? But he heard from the Lord to do this. Job 42, verse 7. And it was so after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends. That's not a good word. For you have not spoken of me the thing that's right as my servant Job has. So God spoke to both Job and Eliphaz. In Acts 9, verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth, a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you persecuted. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. So here's Saul. God sees into individuals' hearts. Because here's this guy who has been taking Christians and seeing them sent to jail and being killed. And Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to slice your head off, dude. He says, why are you kicking against my wounds? He's like, well, who are you? I'm Jesus. And Paul, the Christian slayer, gets converted. Why would Jesus talk to somebody like that? Why not just say, Crispy Critter? He didn't. So, I guess even in this, you might get a word from God sometime, direction or for somebody else. That seems to be the opposite of what you would want to do. Man, if it were up to me, man, they'd be done. That's it. Out. And God says, go love them. You gotta be kidding me. No, go love them. That's not always easy. especially when it's people that are unlovable. I've shared about the lady that used to come to our house, and she'd bring her baby in her bags, and she always, we just, come on in. And I went to deliver groceries to her one time, and when she turned the light on in the kitchen, I just kept moving, because I was squishing cockroaches as fast as I could, because they were everywhere. I mean, it was just moving wallpaper, moving floor. And I didn't want them getting on my shoes, and so I was just moving so I could squish them. They couldn't climb up my shoes. Here's the groceries. And so 2 weeks later, she says, and we've got toddlers. This lady had never, ever invited anybody to her house. And she says, I'd like to have you guys over for a housewarming. And I'll provide the snack. We said yes. I told my wife, I said, bring a blanket that we keep the kids on. And I guess when we get home, we'll just kind of shake her clothes out down the basement or something. I don't know. And we pulled up. We walked in. Didn't see a single cockroach all night long. She had cheese, crackers, and Kool-Aid. I mean, she was poor. But we helped her out quite a few times. And so, to her, that was having company. But that was a big deal to her. Did I want to go? When she said, would you guys come over? I can tell you what my initial But God will speak to you to do things that are uncomfortable. Oh my, let's jump down to this, because this section might surprise some people. God's even spoken to people who are outside of his covenant people, Israel. Numbers 22:9. God came to Balaam and asked, who are these men with you? And again, you can read the context on your own. I'm just pulling out enough to show you that God was speaking to Balaam, and he wasn't an Israelite. Balaam claimed to have his eyes open and he saw visions of God in Numbers 24, 3 and 4. And Scripture clearly does not call him a prophet. In fact, he was a soothsayer or a diviner. God, what are you doing talking to a soothsayer? I have no clue. I'm not God. But God talked to him. That guy heard God. I'm telling you what, if that doesn't make you believe that God can speak to you as one of his kids, he's talking to a stinking soothsayer. Outside of his covenant, ends up getting killed for giving the Midianites an idea on how to corrupt the, or giving the Midianites idea how to corrupt the Israelites. Hey, why don't you let them take your women? We know the story about Phinehas. He sees the guy walking through the camp. They're all mourning in front of the tabernacle. Guy comes walking with a Midianite woman, goes to his tent. Phinehas looks up and sees him. He just grabs a spear and walks in and goes, and stop the wrath of God. Balaam is the one who said, hey, here's a way. And God was talking to him. I don't understand. But I just know if he can talk to someone like that, he can talk to me. Because I'm his kid. In Genesis 20, verse 3, God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, you're nothing but a dead man, for the woman who which you've taken, she's a man's wife." That's when Abraham had lied about Sarah. She's my sister. And I think this might have been the one when she was 90. She was one hot babe for 90, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Here's a king who could have all these women in his kingdom, and he sees Sarah, and he's like, "Man, I gotta have her." And God comes to him in a dream and says, "You've taken another man's wife, and you're nothing but a dead man. You keep moving forward with this." God would speak to somebody in a nation outside of Israel that's doing something wrong. Yeah. Can you see how God's talking all over the place? Prophets, apostles, individuals, and heathen. God's talking to heathen. And Christians are saying, "God doesn't speak to me." It's because they're not knowing what to look for. I'm telling you, we've got some stereotypes, we've got some misconceptions, and hopefully these scriptures can show how to get beyond some of that stuff. Genesis 31:24, God came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night, said to him, "Take heed that you speak not to Jacob, either good or bad." Remember when he chased after Jacob? When Jacob was running away with his wives and his family. You know why Laban was chasing him? Who knows why Laban was chasing him? It's in the notes. Rachel stole his gods, as well as the fact that he took off without saying anything. But he was coming after his idols. So here's his idol worshiper coming to retrieve his idols, and God says, "Don't you say a thing to him, good or bad." Who's that talking? Make you want to stop being an idol worshiper, wouldn't it? You would think. But here he is, and he's looking for his gods, his idols. Genesis 41:25, Joseph said to Pharaoh, "Dream of Pharaoh is one." God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. So here's God revealing to an Egyptian Pharaoh what his plans are. In Daniel 4, verse 4, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, was living in my palace in comfort and prosperity. But one night I had a dream that frightened me. I saw visions that terrified me as I lay in my bed. So I issued an order calling in all the wise men of Babylon so they could tell me what my dream meant." So here's God speaking to Nebuchadnezzar through a dream. And then Daniel giving interpretation. In Acts 10, in Caesarea there lived an army officer named Cornelius, who was captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor, prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. "Cornelius," the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. "What is it, sir?" And the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He's staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore." God spoke to a Gentile Roman at that. And again, God spoke to Peter ahead of time. Rise, kill, and eat. He gave him an understanding of what that meant when he put the two together. And that's when that revelation started to be unveiled, that Paul the Apostle said, this revelation that's been hidden, that the Jews and the Gentiles are one. It's one body. God spoke to this army officer. Does he still want to speak today? I'd like to just read this portion of 1 Corinthians 2:16, 2:9 through 16, and I'm going to leave it at that till next week. However, it's written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they're spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is part of the beginning of where it's going to move into kind of changing some of the preconceived ideas about hearing the voice of the Spirit. Because we have the Spirit of Christ living within us. And that Spirit knows the thoughts of God. We have the capability, it says, we have the mind of Christ, so we can understand the Father because of the Spirit living within us. You're going to see, we're going to be looking next week, moving on into that he desires to express his thoughts to us. How can he express his thoughts? He can do it through the Word, and he does do it through the Word. But there's other times he expresses them through speaking to us, because when you're looking at somebody that is unlovely and you're having maybe a difficult time drawing close, and he just speaks and says, I love them. It makes a change inside of you because you hear him, because he expresses his thoughts. We have the mind of Christ. We have got to grab a hold of that fact, and that's why I think you're going to see me talking more and more that a lot of the things that we go through on our daily basis, I'm getting ahead of myself, and I'm going to end on this note. When I study the Word of God and God gives me a revelation, it seems like just my own thinking. I put that together. Oh, look at that. When the revelation I got about Paul's infirmity in the flesh, which is in Galatians, and I understand it. I feel very 100% confident that I know what it is. I was reading in the book of Galatians, I was just reading, and it says, churches of Galatia. My mind said, churches, that's plural. Who are the churches? And I got my map out. And when I got my map out, certain cities went bing, 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 bing in my mind. I said, Lystra, Derby, well, that's where he got stoned. Oh, he went to the cities, and they said, oh, you would have plucked out your eyes and given it to me. He was all banged up. It just came from reading. Now, I was jumping around going, oh! I was excited at that, because that one had been on my back burner for 15 years. But it felt like I just put it together. That wasn't me. And that's the type of thing I'm talking about, that in our everyday lives, there are things that happen all the time because we have the mind of Christ, we are doing things, one, because the Word of God is in us, and sometimes because He's just nudging us very gently in a certain way. It's like, and we're thinking, well, I'm doing that just because that's the way I always do it. No, we've got to realize we have a Heavenly Father who's nudging, leading, and speaking to us, sometimes very specifically, and other times maybe more in a general way. But we have the mind of Christ. That means we can understand what the Father's saying. Amen. We'll close right there.